So look, we have the brain trust of Mix09 here, but I just want to call something out. PDC 08 was amazing. I wanted to say thank you guys because I thought that was an amazing event. This guy did the content. You saw these two before. They don't know that much about Thomas Lewis. He hasn't been on here in a while.
No.
Who are you, Thomas? Nice shirt.
Oh, thank you very much. I'm Thomas Lewis. My team runs Mix Online at visitmix.com. And I do some stuff behind the scenes with the PDC as well.
Mm-hmm. Of course. Mm-hmm. And now we're talking about Mix. Ritzy, you've been running Mix since it began in 06.
Yep.
And
one of the co-founders.
One of the co-founders. We don't have to get into this and that. You're one of the co-founders. and so what I wanted to talk about today was I've noticed over the years, and I've been a part of Mix since Mix 06 too, but I'm not one of the co-founders. I was just one of the troublemakers. It seems to me that over the years... based from Mix 06 to Mix 08, which was the last one we had, there seems to be a little bit of disconnect with the original vision that you had. So what I want, and that could just be my misperception, which is totally fine. What I want to do is go back briefly today and talk about why did you start Mix 06? Mm-hmm. What was the vision? Mm-hmm. And how does that translate into where what you guys are thinking up for Mix 09? Because now you have some big shooters on your team.
Right.
What's going on?
Well, do you want to introduce this guy first?
Everybody knows Mike Swanson.
Yeah, right.
Keynote owner.
Right.
For
Look at that face.
Yeah, hey.
So, Mike Swanson, talk to us. You're the keynote owner.
Keynote owner, yeah. So, basically, keynote and messaging all up. So, yep. Who we get on stage, what partners we talk about.
The narrative, the story, what we're going to say.
Absolutely.
Can I answer for him, please?
Yeah, go ahead.
Can you let him talk, please? That was sort of the PDC relationship.
Yeah, it kind of was. It's
my relationship with everybody.
Yeah, I know.
It is.
So, the original intent?
Well, wait a minute.
Oh, boy.
You were responsible for PDC08's content.
Yeah,
all up.
That's right.
And now you're responsible for keynotes.
Correct.
Which is more along the lines of
promotion.
The big time. He did. Congratulations.
Well, thank you
deserve
very much. Thank you very much.
Actually. All right. Can we come back to the original question?
Yes.
Then we'll randomize Michael and Thomas.
Yes. So we can all answer this because we all worked on Mix06.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But I will start with by the original, like one of the main drivers when we pulled that thing off like in 12 weeks flat. Was that it was going to be non-Microsoft. That was one of the biggest things. It was going to be something for the consumer web space, obviously, going after designers and developers, and at that time, business decision makers. We were trying to target because we thought we had a good story around advertising and monetization. We're still working on that. We haven't given up yet.
Yeah.
But it was supposed to be, we're going to surprise people. People were going to go to Mix and say, this is not Microsoft. This is not what I would ever expect at a tech ed or a PDC or anything from Microsoft. They are like, first of all, they're being humble. They're being more neutral. They're inviting in a lot of third parties. Dean Hakimovich, the general manager of Internet Explorer, stood up and did a mea culpa on stage. Since when does Microsoft offer apologies?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that was the intent.
Okay.
You know, it goes against some of the perceptions that people have of Microsoft. You know, we all work here, so we kind of get that what you just described may sound like an act to someone who has seen Microsoft from the outside, but in fact, it's really just reality, right? The reality of the situation is, well, I was consulting. You know, I was consulting, like many of us, out in the field with customers, and, you know, no shop is 100% Microsoft, right? We're almost always in there with someone else, right? We have to be part of the story. We're not the whole story.
Mm-hmm.
And Mix, you know, some of the stance was, you know, we're in it with everyone else, right? So it's not just us. We do have some new stuff that fits in the space, but there's other stuff out there too. And let's just have a conversation about it.
That's
a little more authentic.
Coolest thing, because I actually did content the first year, was how inclusive we were. Because at that time, all the stuff that I had been involved with at Microsoft was always us sort of getting on stage, you know, vomiting out these PowerPoints and telling you about, hey, here's another great, you know, application that we have for you to purchase. And people were sort of surprised when they showed up and they would look and say, there's a session and the speakers are actually competitors to Microsoft. Mm-hmm. And what I just thought was so cool was the fact that we were sort of pushing as much as we could to push the web forward and to say, you know what, we believe in this thing and we think that we have a story to tell, and we told that story and we told it with our friends and sometimes enemies.
Yeah. Sure. Mm-hmm. I want to get back to the kind of core of your question, I think, which was the premise that Mix appears to be changing over time, and you know, what was Mix 06 all about?
Yes. So that's just my perception.
Totally. So we've recognized that. Yep. We actually had an off-site meeting over the summer to basically talk about this very issue. It's like Mix feels like it's losing its, you know, Mixness.
Mm-hmm.
So what does Mix mean? Let's talk again about what Mix means and what we can do this year to kind of bring it back to its roots. So we did things like Jennifer kind of alluded to the audience, and we think about who attends, and we try to optimize the content and the messaging and the keynotes for who attends. And BDMs, what we call business decision makers. It used to be an explicit audience, and we'd make an attempt to put some good content out there, but frankly, a lot of them would just consume the designer and developer content anyway because it's just as relevant, and the way we talk about it's relevant. So this year we said, you know what, let's just stop kidding ourselves. We want those folks to show up, but let's really double down and focus on the two audiences that matter most at this conference, which is the developers and the designers. And today we know that that's really a blended audience.
Mm-hmm. Right.
We like to bucketize them, but they're really, you know, flavors are the same. We get a lot of developers who are learning design or vice versa.
Absolutely.
So some of the other, you know, statements that we came up with was, you know, the MIX vision, which includes more than the event. It includes the online community and some of the work that's being done related to, you know, OOMF and Oxsite and some of those things. Mm-hmm. It's basically about developers and designers kind of, I always visualize, just pushing forward wherever the edge of the web is. And, and not that Microsoft's the only one there. We're all there. Mm-hmm. But it's this idea of what can we do with the rest of the community to push that web edge forward.
Okay.
And everything we do related to that. And we want to be authentic, genuine. We want to have an open and honest conversation that includes competitive technologies, because, again, we integrate with those technologies well, and so on. So we're focused more on it this year, I think.
So let me ask a question, and I was curious of this since the first MIX, but it's still fundamentally about technology, and it's still fundamentally about software. The original seems like there was a more of an intention to mix in some philosophy. Mm-hmm. And to mix in some, you know, here's the approach we take as Microsoft. Here's the approach somebody else takes. An interesting thing would be to actually have that conversation on stage and then engage the audience, which you guys did last year. You had, I remember like the keynote was, people loved the keynote when you had Guy Kawasaki and
Steve Ballmer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, that was interesting just because it was unexpected.
Right.
And the conversation that came out, including the interaction with the audience, was amazing.
Right.
So the philosophy, and Thomas, your team is sort of the Next Web Now team, if I may, with MIX Online. I'm sorry about saying that, but you guys created Oxsite along with the developers who created Channel 9, OOMF, and various other things. So it's a web conference that's about web software and our position in it. But let's talk a little bit about philosophy, philosophy of the web, philosophy of web design.
Yeah. So for example, we changed the community site. So when you go to visitmix.com, you sort of see this different thing. People are always sort of shocked, and they're like, this is Microsoft? And we don't hide it. You know, a lot of people think it's some kind of subversive thing, and it's really not. What it is that there's a group of us just that believe that, you know, the web is sort of where it's at, and we love the web. And what we wanted to do was to sort of talk to people and talk to our audience in a way that was sort of made sense for them. And that's what we always thought MIX, the conference, was about as well, was that, hey, it's about talking and it's about kind of sharing ideas, and that we're not the only person with a voice on the web. So with MIX Online, what we did was we started thinking about, well, what if we started talking about these emerging scenarios that are out there or things that are important to people? Mm-hmm. So we looked at things like the standards web. We looked at things like micro formats. And what we said is, you know, instead of trying to tell people what they should think, let's bring other people to the table. So we actually talked to people who are influential in these spaces. So we had John Alsop from the microformats community. We had Molly from the standards web community, and had them just not talk about how great Microsoft is around these scenarios, but really just why. We said, instead of, you know, trying to sell the software, sell why you should begin thinking about this. We also took another different bent on sort of designers. Which, you know, like Mike was saying before, we try to bucketize them, and they're really hard to bucketize. I've got two designers on my team, and I'll tell you, you know, if you just said, well, all you do is sit in Photoshop all day, they'll tell you that's not what they do. They're writing code. They're thinking of technology. They look at things like Azure and go, hey, I'm interested in knowing, you know, how this is going to help. So what we did was we sort of kind of created a place where that kind of discussion, that conversation could happen. But what we also did was we said, hey, what if we kind of created this software that could be used by people? Mm-hmm. And not only could it be used by people, but we would allow people to go ahead and add to it. So for example, all of our stuff is up on CodePlex. Anybody in the world can go up there and say, hey, I created this new add-on for this thing that you all started building. I'd like to give it as a part of the community. Mm-hmm. we totally accept that because that's sort of the way that the web is working. I mean, a lot of people come together to build these kind of amazing applications, and we wanted to say, you know what, Microsoft believes in this, you know, as well. So what was nice was that the community started reflecting the way we felt about Mix and the way we felt about people who attend the Mix conference. And so I think that that's really what you're starting to see is us to sort of mature. I mean, we every year we learn something new, but I think what's happening is we're maturing now and we understand what it is that people want. And what they don't want is to be told, hey, this is what you should think. They're like, help, you know, let us work together with you, Microsoft. And I think that's a part of what Mix is about.
Yeah. And for the conference this year, we're trying to up-level the story. Mm-hmm. We don't want to just talk about products and technology for technology's sake. Mm-hmm. We're trying to talk about scenarios and narratives, and we understand what people are going through in this economy. We're feeling the pinch, too. And so we're trying to talk about, you don't have to rip and replace. You don't have to come here and just do what's new and shiny. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You need to double down on your current investment. We get that, and we're here to help with that.
Yeah. Okay. That's a good point. You know, at the end of the day, we're an engineering company that releases products that have features, right? That's the reality of the situation. But we're not here just to sell a feature into a company, for example. We're here to talk about how those features can be used together, right, in an aggregate to provide some solution. And those solutions could vary across industries, across partners. But at the end of the day, technology enables some business value, if you will, you know, somewhere. Mm-hmm. And it's our job at an event like this to connect the feature set we have with whatever that value is. And as Jennifer alluded to, you know, it's, you know, the economy sucks right now. So what can we do given today's climate to either lower costs or improve performance or you know, mine data so that you can better target customers with better offers? You know, it could be anything depending on what the industry is.
Interesting.
I want to go back to the comment kind of about design and about features. And I know we always like to draw analogies to cars, for example, whenever we talk about development. It seems like an easy one, so I'll go there. If you think about kind of the development of the automobile, right, it started out as a technical solution. Right? It was amazing, first of all, that you could even drive around. And I'll tell you what, there was it was so difficult to manipulate the materials that put a car together that you were just lucky to get something that got you from point A to point B. It was all about the technology, right? But over time, as the technology just advanced, right, we start to see design kind of come into the process as well. And I feel like in the technical industry, we've kind of reached that same point. We're good at building bits and bytes and tools and things like that. We're getting to the point now where we've gotten beyond the difficulty of making things feel and look and behave right. So I don't mean just pixels on screens, but I also mean behaviors that couldn't have been developed before, animations that couldn't have been developed before, design even from an architecture perspective that might have been harder before. So we've kind of evolved behind that, yeah, we can get the technology to do it. We've gotten to the point now where the tools allow us to actually put design into the experience, kind of like the auto industry.
Absolutely. And so when you talk about the crowd, I mean, when I think of web developers, I think of a developer that can write in some cases, C++. Sometimes they have to write, remember iSAPI filters? So you have the, and then with what Google's just released, the fact that you can write C++ in the browser and it has sort of a sandbox model, that's incredibly interesting. We have ActiveX, of course. So, but there's never C++ at Mix in any of the sessions, right? Because we assume that everyone there is just interested. Because you're the content guy. And you're the content guy. And she's the queen. So I'm not trying to make an argument for let's have C++ at Mix. I'm saying, how do you define what a web developer is?
Right, and what content is right for them.
Yeah.
So I can maybe address the C++ one and then let these guys jump in. But, you know, so I just came from PDC, right, running that event. And we think about how we differentiate our conferences quite a bit. So for me, this seems fairly straight. There's a straightforward question, at least from my perspective. Part of the audience, you know, that we talk about is not only whether you're a designer or a developer or a blend of the two, but we also talk about, believe it or not, how friendly you are to Microsoft. Right? Friendly meaning, so we actually have three pivots, at least that I tend to think of it. One is the Microsoft friendly. Right? They're people who have worked with Microsoft for a long time. I'd consider myself among them, not just because I work here, but, you know, I was the Microsoft friendly. I looked to Microsoft for solutions. Then we get neutral. Right? These are people who are maybe looking for the best tool for the job. Right? Their goal at the end of the day has nothing to do with liking Microsoft or liking somebody else.
Pragmatism.
They just need to know what the best tool is to solve whatever their problem is at the moment. And we have tools to solve those people's problems, and there's a vast number of those folks. And then we get what we might call the hostile. And these are the people who, you know, it's anything but Microsoft. They exist. They're out there. We deal with them all the time. So when we kind of slice developers and designers at even one more level, it's we know when we do a conference we're probably going to get some Microsoft friendly because they want to hear what we have to offer. But for Mix, we really want to, because we're part of a bigger story, we want to make sure we go after people who might not know Microsoft as well as the friendly. We call them the neutral. They're looking for the best solution, and it's our job to show them why we have good solutions that might make sense for them. Mm-hmm. So how I'm going to translate that to C++ is, these are people who aren't used to working with Microsoft technologies day in, day out. They might use C++ somewhere else, right? But we're trying to kind of get them to understand how our web solutions mm-hmm. can help them in some scenario. And there are other things we'd want to lead with and talk about first, mm-hmm. capabilities, higher level features, before we'd ever dive down into the details of something like C++.
I understand, but I would just say to that it's still about the CLR. I mean, it's still about one type of technology that we're going to, I wouldn't say pimp, but talk about at Mix, where it should be more of a philosophy. For example, an interesting Mix session could be, is the CLR a good idea? Mm-hmm. Right? Maybe it's an incredibly good idea to be able to have native code running in a browser. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's all I mean. So yep. The sort of, not only Mix, you know, and of course then we're mixing messages, which is fine,
yeah.
Although PR won't like it, and we'll all get fired. But I mean, I'm just curious, from the philosophy of Mix, right? Let's mix it up. Let's exchange
yes.
ideas.
Yes.
Microsoft doesn't know everything.
Yes.
Right?
But it's open. Because, you know, it's not just about the CLR and managed code. In fact, for me, being, you know, very aligned with sort of Mix and my thinking and what my team does, we think about JavaScript. You know, for mm-hmm. us, it may be, you know, heretical around here, but when we think about what we're going to build, we don't even think about technology. And I've told my team, you know, if you've got a great idea, don't come to me saying, I've got a great Silverlight idea or I've got a great C# idea, because you're going at it from the wrong path. What I say is, what is the emerging scenarios that are out there? What is it that people are trying to do?
Right.
Let's figure out what it is that we're trying to solve for people. Then the technology will come. Mm-hmm. It's actually pretty easy. We've never mm-hmm. kind of struggled with like what technologies we use. One of the first things that we built was built on JavaScript and jQuery, and it was because we felt that that was the right thing to use.
Right.
The people that we talk to at Mix, they're very practical. You know, to them, this isn't religious to them. It's not zealotry. What they're saying is, you know what? I got to get my job done. Mm-hmm. Give me the right tools. If you don't have the right tools, I'll go over here and do that. And for us, we always have to make sure that we're open to that. We can't always say there's only one world and it's a CLR-based world. We know that JavaScript is huge, so we've got to embrace all of those things. And I think Mix is sort of the greatest place for that, because a thing like PDC, for example, I wouldn't expect that. I would mm-hmm. expect deep dives. I want to know all the nitty-gritty details about C++.
Yeah.
I think that's where you start finding the differences between the different events we have.
Let's go ahead and talk about a couple of the Mix09 themes that
we're
noodling on now.
Yes.
We've been massaging these. They're not done yet, so mm-hmm. you're watching the sausage get made a little bit. But I think what we're really focused on are the pain points. Mm-hmm. We're trying to really understand mm-hmm. what our customers are struggling with. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And one thing that keeps coming up, and this may sound kind of like high level and generic, but workflow is a big deal.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
You know, the flow between designers and developers. Like Thomas mm-hmm. was saying, two designers on their team, they're not just pixel pushers. Mm-hmm. They're doing code too.
Yep.
Yep.
So that's a big thing.
That is a big thing. Just sharing of assets, for example, between design, people who do mostly design, people who do mm-hmm. mostly development, is a challenge in workflow. Mm-hmm. And there hasn't been great solutions. Another area is Photoshop, right? A lot of people build in Photoshop. It's not a tool we make. It's great for editing. Mm-hmm. A lot of comps are built in Photoshop, I know. Mm-hmm. And how do you get, assets out of Photoshop into some of our tools? Mm-hmm. So, there's a lot of areas where that workflow breaks down today. Not just with us, just in the mm-hmm. industry, workflow is a challenge. So that's, one of the things that we'll be sure we talk about at Mix this year.
Excellent.
Yep.
Well, I mean, the whole designer-developer continuum was something we talked about at Mix 06.
Yep.
And then we had sort of the blend, come in as the savior riding on the white horse, and you can just convert everything to XAML and throw it over to your web developer, to the guy who actually writes code. But that didn't work.
Well, right? I don't know.
Or is it not? So let's talk about that.
Yeah,
is it working?
So I think it is working.
Okay.
So you've got to kind of set expectations. I happened to be a WPF evangelist at the time.
Okay.
And I worked with a lot of companies. Infragistics.
You also wrote some interesting code.
I did.
Continue.
Infragistics was one of them. And I remember getting feedback from them when they were early adopters of WPF and working with XAML was, well, yeah, it's not going to be perfect the first time out. right? But if you compare it to where the world was, like when I used to, I'll go back to when I was in the field. Mm-hmm. The last project I was on, we had a guy who did human interaction design, used to work for Kodak and did interfaces for cameras and things like that, knew what he was talking about. Mm-hmm. And he would do all of his stuff in Illustrator, you know, the tools that, are used today, and he'd draw all these beautiful things, and then we'd say, well, that's interesting, but there's no way we can build that. Or it's going to cost the whole project's, you know, budget, again, just to build out UI looking like that. Mm-hmm. So if I fast forward back to Infragistics, they were actually able to take some of the designs that were done in those tools and bring them over more or less, you know, accurately.
Cool.
So there wasn't a re-implementation. There wasn't that pushback. There wasn't the, it's going to cost you a fortune to do it. So it might not be perfect, mm-hmm. right? And, but we've made progress, even as early as the first implementation.
Okay, certainly. But that was just my way, sort of my sort of half-assed roundabout way of asking, do we really understand the designer-developer relationship? Because if you can actually take a design from some application that a designer uses, convert it into some sort of data, some sort of markup that a developer could then stick into his tool and then actually be able to event, you know, create events for and make it come to life, mm-hmm. You know, why isn't more of that happening? And the question is, the people who are coming to Mix, you have a designer and developer in one body that wants to maybe not use multiple tools, mm-hmm. that might want to just use one tool, or maybe we don't understand the audience. Maybe I don't understand the audience. Well, you guys certainly are the experts.
I think what
that
it
was
is
kind
is
of my question.
There isn't the one size fits all. There's always going to be niches. No one ever has 100%. So we're aware of that, and that's mm-hmm. why things such as like when Silverlight came out, I think we're smart enough to say, you know what, we're in a JavaScript world, so we got to make sure that these things talk to each other, and how is Ajax going to play a part in that? I think what you find is that, you know, people are pretty smart. They'll figure out that, you know, hey, this is what works for me, this is what doesn't work for me. And I think we've always tried to be genuine in showing, like, this is what this is good for. When I love to sit in sessions at Mix, and one of the things I've always been really happy with is that I've never seen it where someone has tried to say, well, this is the only solution. Mm-hmm. They're very open, and like you've heard us, we've used things like Photoshop, and we've talked about things like Illustrator. We don't treat those as the, you know, the invisible elephants in the room. We accept that, you know, for mm-hmm. us to say, yeah, the designer uses some kind of tool over here to draw out the wireframes and stuff like that. They would laugh us mm-hmm. out and go, okay, Microsoft, we can't take you serious. But they see that we understand the pains that they have. And we spend a lot of time talking to these folks. I mean, a lot of the time my team spends is, you know, going out and talking with people. And it may be a Twitter conversation, it may be a series of comments. And that's the one thing I would love to hear, because as we're talking about these themes, are we thinking about the right thing? You know, mm-hmm. we've talked about a lot of stuff. We've talked about design, we've talked about user experience. Is that what people want to see? Mm-hmm. Because believe me, if people come and, you know, say, no, you need to talk about this, you need to tell us what you're thinking in this space, you know, we're going to talk to the right people around Microsoft yeah. to make it happen. It's not unusual for people, whether it be three of us or other people who are on our core team, to sit with Steve Ballmer and say, I'm about to give you a piece of bad news, but we've got to do this because it's the right thing.
Right. Yeah. The other thing is that knowing some of the announcements that we're going to make at Mix09 this mm-hmm. year, without being able to talk about them now in gory detail,
Tease.
If any detail at all, but they are more on the design side. They are. Yeah. There's not so much the developer technology. There's a couple of things around the developer technology that you would expect. Mm-hmm. There's a couple of really cool things. We were just talking about it this morning that are more on the design side. Mm-hmm. But also your question about, do we really know who these people are and do mm-hmm. we understand them? Mm-hmm. I would say that, you know, we're an engineering firm. Developers are our sweet spot. We get them. We mm-hmm. know what motivates them. But we're asking some questions. When you go and register for Mix, actually, you'll find we've actually asked a couple of interesting questions. There's a slider scale this year when you sign up for Mix saying, between developer and designer, where do you fall? Mm-hmm. Because you're right. Maybe there's two people in one body. Mm-hmm. And like, who are you and what are you? Mm-hmm. The other thing we're asking is, and I bet you there's no other Microsoft conference that's asking this, do you love us or hate us? And that's on a sliding scale, too.
And that's literally what it says on both ends, is love and hate.
Yeah. But you raise a good point. Do we really understand these people? Therefore, are we really in a position that we can provide the content that they would need, where they would choose us over, you know, South by Southwest or Web 2.0 Summit or whatever? Mm-hmm. And we are really trying hard to understand these people better. We think we have a pretty good handle on it. Don't mm-hmm. get me wrong. I'm not saying that we're ignorant completely about who they are.
Of course not.
You know, millions of dollars of research have gone into designers before we ever started to work on expression or any of our design tools. But we really want to know even better who they are and what, you know, what their daily problems are, mm-hmm. and how we can help with that.
And we're always trying to learn more, of course.
Yeah, mm-hmm. it's a dialogue. That's everything about Mix. That's one of our guiding tenets.
Absolutely.
It's a bi-directional dialogue. Mm-hmm.
And so do you, I mean, and you guys are, you know, the brains behind all of this. When you look out into the stratosphere of the
can
internet.
Can I just say us and like 50 other people?
Of course.
Yeah.
Basically, I'm saying
if
not
me. If we
had
them all on camera, we would. But
when you look at the stratosphere of the internet, our technologies aren't, Facebook's not written on our technology. MySpace is not written. They have our back-end server. They, you know, they use SQL and whatnot.
And we've had them at Mix before.
Mm-hmm. Why is that the case? And I mean, is Mix a way for us to try to show that, hey, we can do this too? You can build a Facebook on Azure with MVC mm-hmm. and whatever. I mean, it is a Microsoft conference. I'm trying to get that out. So we are showing that we too have solutions. Mm-hmm. And, you know, can we talk mm-hmm. about that? Because mm-hmm. I think it's
absolutely.
Important.
Absolutely.
Well, I would disagree a little bit with sort of what you were saying in that, you know, yes, you say, okay, Facebook, if I go and I, you know, go to, you know, builtwith.com or I may Google that site, and I find out, like, okay, it's not all, you know, the Microsoft stack. But, you know, we're doing ad stuff with them. We've had this big deal. We invested quite a bit of money. Mm-hmm. And what happens is it's sort of funny because, you know, legally we can't always say, hey, this person is using this. But you know what? I've never been to a shop where they weren't using Microsoft in one way or another. Maybe it's a deal that they're doing with MSN. Maybe it's, you know, hey, we've built some internal applications built on, you know, on SharePoint. We're there in a lot of different places. I think what happens is people go to the site, they look at the URL, and if they don't see sort of an appendix of one of our technologies, then they go, oh, yeah, Microsoft's just totally not in this space. And there are going to be times where we get it wrong. I mean, that's the thing, is that, you know, Microsoft isn't a 100% perfect. We will always try to be. But I think we just have to look at it and say, you know what, Microsoft, I think, does get the web. And I think that we're doing things. I think we do. I think that it's hard, right? Microsoft is a battleship. And mm-hmm. so, you know, you can't turn a battleship, you know, 90 degrees, you know, over a small period of time. But I think what's interesting is you're starting to see there's people within the organization who are being kind of the bearers of, like, this is what we should do. I mean, if you look at Ray Ozzie, for example, and you start reading about what does he think about the web, it's very different than what we've had in the past. You look at various groups. You look at people like Scott Guthrie, mm-hmm. who, you know, who would have ever thought that, A, we would be, you know, doing open source on our stuff mm-hmm. and making it available to people, B, that we take something like jQuery that wasn't done by Microsoft and saying, you know what, we're going to support it, we're going to distribute it, we're going to give back. These are things that, you know, I'm honest with you, 6 years ago, I would have been like, I don't think I ever will see that day. It's those people who are starting to go up, and we're getting new people every day who are coming into the organization going, I think differently. And the beauty about Microsoft is that you can think different. Mm-hmm. People want that. And it just, the change won't happen overnight, mm-hmm. but it has been changing. And I believe, yeah, we do get the way.
That's awesome. So is that, like, it's a great point. Are you going to, in your content creation, focus on some of the technologies that are open source and technologies
Absolutely.
That
totally.
Are?
Absolutely.
Instead of just having Scott come out on stage, if he comes out on stage, talking about, you know, dun-da-da.
Yeah, one of our premises, and I'd love feedback if people want to, you know, feedback in the forum or mix09@microsoft.com. Either one of those will work. But we've done a lot of shows. We've seen lots of keynotes. Mm-hmm. And I, as keynote owner of this year, with lots of other people, of course, one of the things we'd like to do is see if we can make the keynotes connect a little more directly with the audience. Because mm-hmm. a lot of times it's a big senior executive that comes out and lists some features and improvements, and then we pull a partner up on stage to prove it out, right? Show that it's real and mm-hmm. that this thing is shipping, and then we do the same thing again. And we kind of get the feeling that at Mix, maybe we need to notch that down a little bit and make it look more like the problems and challenges that the people in the audience are facing. So mm-hmm. developers, designers that are faithful to us and that are maybe neutral to us, you know, what can we do, like showing them how, yes, you can use Photoshop and look how easy it is to translate that into our workflow using our solutions, and recognizing again that we're not the only provider on the planet. Mm-hmm. So, you know, things like that motivate us, and how can we connect more directly with the problems? that the audience is facing.
Outstanding. You know? And one of the great things about Mix is the party, man.
Of course.
We're in Vegas. What a great idea to have it in Vegas. It's just a party. But I mean, can we talk a little bit about the fun things at Mix, or is it too early?
The social aspect is pretty important at Mix.
Yeah.
Yes, the engagement, right?
It is.
Yeah.
You know, the engagement amongst the people that are there with Microsoft.
Well, one of the, you know, if you look at the post-show survey, which, you know, if you're an attendee, you'll get the survey. One of the big things people love at Mix, along with other events, but especially at Mix, is the networking.
Yeah.
Right? If you look at the list of companies, I was just looking through our Mix 08 company list the other day. Mm-hmm. You'd recognize lots of names on this list. I mean, they're well-known names in the industry, competitors and otherwise, mm-hmm. that show up to hear what we're doing. And if you want to network with these folks, mm-hmm. This is a great opportunity to do it.
And, you know, we said earlier that we're not actually going after BDMs. They still show up.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
The movers and shakers who are controlling the purse strings still come to Mix.
Yeah, of course.
So it's interesting because you can meet a lot of influential people at Mix. But, yes, of course, there's going to be big parties, all of that, but we don't need to talk about that today.
That's fine. And that's a great segue to conclude with, because you guys are going to do your great show again, Countdown.
Countdown to Mix, yes. Regular series, 10 minutes.
Perfect. With the alarm clock.
Yes.
With the new one.
Yes.
The new one.
Yeah.
Yes.
Nice. Jennifer went out and got the chicken alarm clock.
Cool.
Yes, to shut us up.
Excellent.
Yes. But the whole point of that is transparency into the whole planning process around mm-hmm. Mix and hearing about the decisions that the whole team is making every week.
Mm-hmm. And matter of fact, one of the things we've been talking about a lot recently, if we were asking for feedback, mm-hmm. I know we honestly would like feedback about this, is how is the economy impacting people's decision to attend mm-hmm. events? Right, as we look out at the economy and even what we, you know, what we're restricted from doing now at our company, right, a mm-hmm. pretty financially stable company, our restrictions on travel, we're very curious, and we've been kind of mm-hmm. noodling about it and figuring out how can we get good data about how our attendees are looking at travel and business expenses yeah. over the next year, and does that impact them physically mm-hmm. attending an event? And should we be thinking, you know, right. longer term about how do we respond to that? Is it easier for us to produce more of the content online? Mm-hmm. You know, we don't know, but I would love feedback on how the economy is impacting people's decisions to attend or not attend events, whether it's ours or other events mm-hmm. In the coming year.
That's an excellent, excellent question. Okay. And I hope people on this thread
will tell us and give us their feedback.
Yeah. So let's conclude.
But that's why you shouldn't wait to register, because you can save $200 if you do it
now. See, marketing maven.
I just had to get a little,
got it in.
You know, that's actually, a little bit of that in.
Take advantage of early bird.
Yeah, totally. If you're looking at saving money, now's the time to sign up. Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah.
And the food will be good down there, and there'll be drinks. Come
the parties.
We'll be okay.
Yes.
So before, let's conclude this. I really would like to go through and just say, you know, in 30 seconds or less, what is Mix 09? What is it?
To me, Mix 09 is the place where smart people get together to talk about the web.
Mix 09 is going to be pushing the next web forward, but surprising. We're going to surprise you. Don't give up on us.
I won't give up on you.
Okay.
Don't give up on us. I will not give up
on you. We've got a lot of our sleeves still.
I know you do.
So Mix 09 is not just about the future. It's just as much about today, mm-hmm. especially given the current economy and the challenges that are being faced. Mm-hmm. And we often talk about how, you know, good design makes you money, or some, you know, vague phrase like that. This year we want to help connect the dots and make it real.
Outstanding. And I would just like to say, because I started off with, you know, what happened since Mix 06, I'm hoping that it'll be more Mix 06 than
too.
People expect. Yeah. Oh, I know it will be.
We
got the right people. 50, 60,
we fired 70. All those other people that kept bringing
totally.
It down. We got rid of them. They're not here anymore.
Bye-bye, even the executives. Thank you, guys.
Yeah, thank
I really
you.
Look
thank
forward
you.
To this.
Yeah, thanks. See you guys.
Cheers.